Okay, this is Bob Stone for Florida Folklife Programs. It's September 14th, 1991. I'm at the home of Neela Radhakrishnan with Priya and Prema Manan. And we're going to talk about East Indian dance.
Okay.
Folk arts apprenticeship. Relax. Very, very informal.
All right.
Let's see, I had some questions here. First, what part of India are your families from, and where did you go this summer when you visited India? Uh-huh. Let's start with Neela. Where
okay.
is your family from?
Well, we're from the state of Kerala, K-E-R-A-L-A, and that's in the, it's very southern tip of India, near the west coast. And it's a, mainly it's very tropical area. So that's
what,
where
what
our family's from.
Would it be?
Okay, it's called Cochin, C-O-C-H-I-N. That's the big city that in near the area where my parents are from. But mainly we're from some villages, nearby villages.
Uh-huh. And how about the Manan sisters?
We're from the same place.
The same area.
Yeah, and my father's area in India is Cochin, where Mom, Mila just said. My mother is from a more village-like area, Kottayam. It's a little bit south
from
that. K-O-T-T-A-Y-A-M.
Even though the general area is the same, there's a lot of difference between little villages. Because, see, each village has their own traditions.
Traditions, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Does
that affect the dance, too?
Not so much. A little bit in some very small ways. But that just gives it more of, it just makes it more distinct. So it's a more diverse way. But it's not so much because since it's a set pattern and it's originated in South India, so mainly it hasn't changed much.
And the South Indian traditions are quite different from North Indian.
Oh, yes, quite
very
different.
Different language, too?
Oh, yeah.
Even within the South, there's different languages. We speak the same language, but their dialect will be slightly different from the dialect that we have because we have some other language influence.
Uh-huh.
So that's why there's 18 official languages in India.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And you have innumerable dialects because you have mixtures of two languages and three languages. But for all practical purposes, we speak the same language. But the accents and all will be a little bit different.
Very different.
Yeah.
Even I noticed when I went to my father's house, they spoke very fast with a different accent. You know, and I wasn't
then,
used to that.
Right.
My mother's house, it was just like, you know, how they speak here. It was
uh-huh.
very different. I was like, okay.
So it's
same
really
language,
a lot of differences.
Uh-huh. Was this your first trip to India?
Second trip.
Second.
We went
you
6 years ago.
Both born in the States?
No, I was born in India.
You were born in India.
Yeah. But I just lived there for, 2 years, so I don't remember anything. Yeah.
So it was your second trip. Tell me, what were some of your impressions?
I was really amazed. I remember the first time I went, I was only 10 years old, and so I didn't have, you know, too much experience with real India and
this
everything.
Is
but, yeah, this is. And I thought it was really, you know, it was very unmodern back then, but now it's changed a lot. Not only was I older, so I was able to experience it myself. You know, I didn't have to go with my parents. But it's really good, you know, the people have changed. It's more organized, I think.
Right. We don't realize what goes on because 4 or 5 years we are here and we don't realize the changes that go on.
Changes. A lot.
How about do you see any changes in the traditions? Or are people moving away from traditional life or more conscious of it or less or
Well, actually, I haven't been there. I'm only going next year. But from what I'm noticing through reading and from what, you know, I'm receiving from my relatives, I'd say people are going back to some of the older traditions. I mean, you still have... It's hard to explain because they're going more modern, but that makes them more eager to grasp the old traditions.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. I mean, what I saw is... all the new houses, but they, you know, they're all new houses, but they still have special places for all the traditional, you know, praying or just having, you know, traditional things up. They have all the time. If there's a holiday coming up, it doesn't matter if everyone's working, they will just stop that work for that day and they'll come together. All of the entire family will come together and do something special. And no matter what, you know, if they live 500 miles away or whatever, they come down for that.
How about language? Do you keep up with the language?
We do. It's hard to keep up with it, really. But since we have a good community here, it's okay because we can hear it. Because the only way you can really pick up a language fluently is to keep on hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
At home, it's fine because our parents speak to us in that language. But
so you do speak it at home,
right?
A lot.
Uh-huh. But then we have the tendency, well, they'll speak to us, and then we'll speak back in English, uh-huh. just because it comes a lot faster.
Do they do anything when you do that?
No, they're used to it. Yeah, and then now our language is half English and half Malayalam. It's all mixed. But usually, I don't know, maybe this is from my experience, when I go back to India, the first 2 weeks is really hard. Yeah. Then after I start hearing it, it comes fluently.
Same with us. When I went to my father's house, I was just too scared. I was like, what if it's too broken for them to understand? They'll say, God, you know, she doesn't know anything. So I didn't say anything. When I went to my mother's house, they don't know any English at all. So we were forced to speak it. And since we did, you know, these past few years, my parents always speak to us in our language, you know, Malayalam. But we just speak in English. We understand everything, but we just speak in English.
Right.
But what we did there was if it was broken, it didn't matter. We just tried, and it came to us more. We just need to practice. What happens, now we've come back, the first 2 days, we were speaking
yes.
the whole time. But then it's now came where school.
Once you start school, that's it.
You can't, you know, if they ask you how. Yeah.
Right. And even you see with small children, up to about 5, sometimes they don't even speak English at all because they're with their parents.
Uh-huh.
The minute they go to school, they lose that.
Uh-huh.
Because you're constantly bombarded with English, and only for a few hours every day when you're at home, you're hearing your native language.
Yeah, the first time we went there, she was 10 and I was 8, and so I had no idea. I only knew a little of our language from what our parents said. When I went there, I was speaking it fluently. I didn't speak any English. When I came back to America, I forgot it all.
Right.
That's what happened. I had no idea what anything meant.
And then even when we speak, I'm sure the pronunciation
is
a little bit messed up, so they have to kind of interpret.
Yeah.
And the grammar is a little bit off too.
Yeah, grammar is my main problem. I know the word. I just don't know how to make it fit the
sequence.
The sentence.
Well,
yeah,
how do you feel about it? Is it pretty important to you speak it?
Yes, it's very important because I don't want in more generations for it to be lost.
Exactly.
Do you see a connection with the language and the traditional culture?
Yes,
very much.
Very much.
Because I don't know, it's hard to get the same kind of expressive quality when you have to use a different language to express your native culture.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why I'm trying now, recently, to learn the language so that my children will be able to learn it. Because even now, it's already a little bit lost because of the pronunciation. I can never gain back and, you know, get an Indian accent now. So it's important.
Never say never.
Well,
I mean, if you go back, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe after a while. And I'm considering going back living there. So.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just because it's very important, and I don't know.
Permanently or temporary, or, you know, a few years, or
probably after college, definitely. Yeah. But I'm really considering permanently.
Uh-huh.
Just,
why?
I don't know. I feel like I belong there,
uh-huh.
and it's important for me to keep up that tradition. And I see people my age, their parents are just from India too, but they've already lost, they don't have any desire to keep up the tradition. So I'm wondering, if this is happening now, our parents just came from India, what's going to happen
when
a couple more generations? You know, I don't want it to get all...
It'll be totally gone. I mean, I can see so many people, you know.
Right.
They know the language, even they know more than we do, but they're not willing to
they
keep
don't,
up.
They consider it a shameful
It's
thing.
Shameful
for no.
them.
Let me get the spelling of your language first, Neela.
Okay, well, my language is Tamil, but my parents, they lived between two regions, so they speak that and they speak Malayalam, Malayam. I don't know if I even spelled that right, it's so hard.
Malayam.
Malayam. No.
There's
L-A-M
an L
in here. Between, there's an L-A between
Y.
that last M. L. Well, here. Do you want me to just write it down? It's so hard for me to say it. I never was good at spelling bees. There you go. And I think that's the language that...
Yeah, Malayalam.
Yeah, that's
the same.
That's the same language.
So the Radhakrishnans speak...
See, what happened is our family used to live in this area called Tamil Nadu. And a couple of generations ago, many of the people in our family were transported. They went to another village. And so then they picked up the Malayalam. But we'd still keep up the old Tamil tradition. So now we speak both.
Wow. Is there a big difference?
Some words are the same. Well, pure Tamil and pure Malayalam are very much different. But see, we speak an in-between, so we can catch both. Because I think you'd have a problem listening to pure Tamil. Even I can't understand it.
It's very different. But when you watch the Tamil movies and everything, we can understand it because it is half our language.
Right. It's all coming from the same
roots.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Videos?
You can get... There's so many put out.
And there's a restaurant in Gainesville that used to also sell...
Oh, is that right?
Oh, wow.
The Maharaji Ramsey, what was the name of the restaurant? And they also rented videos.
Yeah, most stores that sell Indian, you know, spices or whatever, they have a video collection.
Well, movies are pretty big in their culture, aren't they?
Well, now it's kind of like the movies give you a distorted view of the culture, because what happens is now the new trend is the westernization of them, and most movies have discos and whatnot.
Yeah.
But there's still some that have the classical dance, but even then sometimes it's marred, and usually movie dancers are not looked upon as really, I don't know how you'd say it, pure in the classical
tradition.
Well,
what I meant was that movies are a pretty big thing.
They're very,
It seems that I hear a lot about East Indian film.
Oh, yeah. I think that India makes the most movies per year or something.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, it's important.
Per capita.
Yeah. Right. it's a lot. I mean, it's entertaining.
That's the main form of
entertainment
over there. Right,
because
now
you can get, it's not, I mean, I think in the old American movies you had like musicals, West Side Story or whatever, they have music, dance, and drama. And that's what all the Indian films, if an Indian film doesn't have music or dance, usually
it
doesn't succeed. So, you know, it's a common man's pleasure. You can see all three, drama, music, and dance. So, it's entertainment.
So, even though it's not purely traditional always, there is some expression of traditional stuff.
Right. There's a distinct, there's a distinct difference, because when they practice a tradition, it's more dedicated than the movies, which is just an entertainment.
Yeah, right.
They don't really take them too seriously.
Let's talk about your dancing.
Okay.
And I've probably told you before, but I want to tell you again, you did so well. I saw such an improvement when you were at the festival over my visit here just before the festival. It wasn't that much time in between, so
no.
I know you really were.
It's the intensity as it, you know, nears. And I think they've improved afterwards because they've been to India. And, you know, a lot, very important, a lot of people don't realize is seeing it, because you pick up little things there. You don't realize it. Because it's hard to say, okay, when you do this step, look that way, tilt your head this way. It's so mechanicized. But when you see it, you kind of pick up these little nuances.
Yeah, so it really helps to go back, to be around it a lot.
To be around it, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Then you feel it, you know, you almost feel it inside you. And
right.
Then you can, it just comes naturally. It's not, I have
Force.
To remember, turn my head this way, turn my head. You just know it comes with that part of the music.
And that's what we miss here,
yeah.
I think.
And you folks are going to be giving a performance next week?
Yes. Uh-huh. We gave one last week.
Where?
It was in Tampa.
Yeah.
We've done two or three since they've came back. There was an Independence Day, because our Independence Day was August 15th. So we had a celebration for that, which we performed. And then we had another festival last week, which I was telling you about. It's a harvest festival.
Uh-huh.
And there's a cultural program, so we performed there. And
great.
So now we're planning. We have and this November, December is called Diwali, Festival of Lights.
Uh-huh.
So there's celebrations all over the Tampa Bay. St. Pete, Tampa, Clearwater, everywhere.
That's the festival where all of India comes together.
Right.
Not everybody.
Every
group.
It's
north,
not just
south,
the North
everyone.
Indian or the South Indian.
Right.
It's everybody celebrates.
Like the harvest is very much distinct to this Kerala. This only state they celebrate it in. But the Diwali, North, South,
everyone
celebrates.
Do you folks know how many Indians there are in Florida? And where... Another part of the same question. Where are the big populations of Indians in Florida?
I don't know any real numbers, but I know in the big cities you have a big population.
Miami,
Tampa.
I think Tampa.
Miami has a huge...
Yes.
Orlando, Jacksonville. They are. And even, see, like, we live in Dade City, but we consider ourselves in the Tampa.
Right.
Because Tampa small, area. Yeah, the small cities come into the large sure. areas. And in out of Florida, there's millions. Yes. But within Florida, Miami has a huge population of Indian.
Is Florida among the United States, you know, of all the states, is it a place where there are a lot of Indians?
I think so.
Relative to the rest of the states? It seems that way.
Well, there are a lot in New York, uh-huh. Chicago area, and New York and Chicago, but that's just because there's big cities. But Florida, I think a lot of Indians are attracted. Well, climate.
It's very much like
it's
India.
It's very much like, you know, you get the same
hot.
Vegetables yeah, exactly. or whatever. Right, right. Uh-huh. Exactly. So I think that's a main attraction.
Yeah. As my mom was saying this to me a couple of days ago, we have one palm tree in our house. She said she picked this house because it had that palm tree because it reminded
yeah,
her of India.
Yeah, it's just...
It's just, you know,
small things
Florida
really
just reminds them of that.
You know, some of our... A lot of the palms you see around are not native.
Maybe,
some
yeah.
of them
yeah.
come from India.
Uh-huh. And you know, you can have banana trees here. Yeah. You can grow your own Indian vegetables in the north where it'll get so cold
and everything dies.
So, what are the dances that you, what were the dances that you did at the festival?
Okay, we did two. Uh-huh. Well, they learned two. The first one was the Taya Yashoda. Now that is,
can you spell it?
Okay, T H. Yeah, that's probably better.
The print, so I can read it.
Okay.
And how do you pronounce that?
Taye Yashoda.
Okay, and what's the other one?
Okay. The next one really does not have a name. You can call it an Aladipu, but it's more of it's an invocation piece wow. towards nature. So that's what...
So these were the pieces that I wrote about.
Yes, those are the pieces.
And, okay. And that's what you did?
That's what we did in the festival. Uh-huh. And then...
was there another dance that you worked on, that you worked on, or was it these two?
We worked on these two, because what it was is, for the second dance, the Aladipu, they had to start from the beginning of the series of the steps.
Uh-huh.
So we spent a lot of time on them, because what there's about 16 series, and each series has 4 sets.
Uh-huh.
So they had really had to learn.
Oh, yeah.
So we started with the first set, which is called Tatta Adva, and that means the hitting. And all it is, it doesn't have any hands, it's just feet, stomping. That's to get used to that striking, hitting it hard. Then the second one will build a little more, and the third one, and towards the end, you're building with your hands, legs, and your face. I mean, it all comes together. And
so
then
is that your general approach to teaching?
Yes.
Teach with the feet first,
uh-huh.
and sort of the whole body first?
Right, we first start with the feet. We start each individual, first with the feet. Then we practice with the head movements. Then only the hand movements, because it's a lot to coordinate and they can remember.
It is. I mean, I remember I'd get the hand, but then my feet would just be there.
Forget. Yeah, you forget. But then eventually, see, when you build it slowly like that, they don't have to think about their feet anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Their hands, then they constrain their hand. Then they don't have to worry about that. And you can tell the experienced dancer by it because she does, that is all innate. And then she's concentrating on her expressive qualities.
Right.
So that's why the first dance didn't have any steps, because we were concentrating on the expressions.
Uh-huh.
And the second one had mostly steps and not too much of a change in expression. It had the second one was a happy, whereas the first one, you know, they had to switch expressions quite a bit.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's great. Good job, really. So, and a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. And since they've been back, we've concentrated, because we only did the basic fundamental steps, we've concentrated on more of the combination steps since they've been back, and some of the more complicated expressions. And they've learned some of the hand movements, that more advanced hand movements. So they're coming along.
So those are the things that, you know, one thing I'm always looking for when I talk to apprenticeships or any folk artists is what are some of the things that come later, you know, the finer touches.
And
those would be the...
Yeah, the combination steps, definitely. Because here it would
and
be...
The
hand gestures, yes.
And the facial expressions.
Right.
The expression more than just the dance.
Uh-huh. And it takes years and years to perfect that to the point where it's very clear and crisp, and it flows. You know, because it's just practice. Because to a point, your actual steps don't change, but it's the way you combine them. And also, they'll be, if you know, as they go on, what happens is, here it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. But once you get complicated, it comes within a half beat. And you can't listen to the music because your beat's different from the music. It's a complicated thing. And a lot of people, that's where they drop off, because you really have to have a good sense of beat.
And it's improvised to a degree?
Some of the more semi-classical pieces can be improvised. But once you start getting the classical pieces, you have to sit down, listen to the music, and chart out. That's where you have to, if you have a musical influence, it really helps. Because you have to write out the beats and then coordinate your steps within that. So it helps me, because my mother studied music for so many years.
Yeah.
And what's really good is they both were born with a good sense of beat. If you don't have it inside, you can't, I don't think, I mean, you might be able to learn it, but it's a lot easier if you have a sense of beat.
Of course, your Indian rhythms are complex.
Yes, and they get more complex. The dances we did so far they're complex in the steps, but as far as the rhythm goes, they're pretty much, I mean, each dance with 1, 2, 3, 4 throughout the whole dance. But some of the more advanced pieces switch beats in between.
Uh-huh.
And that's what gives it the beauty too.
Yeah.
Nila, I know you hear a lot of music around home.
Oh yeah.
We listen to a lot of music, but it's not more classical or anything. Yeah. It's more the
semi-classical,
semi-classical music and everything. That's just because we enjoy
recordings.
Oh yeah,
a lot,
yeah.
And then we listen to more classical music. But both my mother loves it, and both my father appreciates music very much, because in his family it was always an important. Mm-hmm. Although no one in his family studied music, it was an important thing for them to be cultured towards that.
Uh-huh.
So.
So it's a big part of the lives of people in both families.
Right.
Is there an age at which women stop dancing? Or
Nowadays, no. I think in my mother's time, there was, you know, after marriage,
because
most women
didn't. Your mother said that she doesn't dance anymore?
No, she doesn't. Well, because at that time, it wasn't really proper for a girl from her family to continue. Because it was considered that, because you go in front of a lot of people and perform. And it was, I don't know, because you were going in front of other men and performing. So, but now, those have changed, and it's more concentrating on the traditions to keep them up. So nowadays, yeah, women have danced for quite a long time.
Even after they're married and have children.
Uh-huh.
So that's a change that's evolving.
Right.
So.
I mean, nowadays there's dancers, you know, 40, 50, and on.
But in your mother's time, maybe it wasn't that way.
No.
That's interesting.
So that's some changes that are going on.
Because, you know, like you say, in our parents' time, the girls started dancing when they were very young. Very young, you know.
Uh-huh.
But now they only start getting interest when, you know, they're our age or something. And by the time, in a couple of years, you know, you can't get anywhere really with dancing. So they just continue, even if they're married and they have children. It doesn't matter, because they started later in their life. So,
and it shows a lot of the other changes influencing. Now you don't have as much time to concentrate, because now girls are going to college also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but on all of those days, you had, the family was your responsibility, primary. So all this was secondary. So your concentration was on the family, and then you don't really have time, because it takes a lot of practice. And once you get out of practice, you don't have the stamina anymore. So, but music, most people keep up for a long time.
So, you're gonna keep dancing for a while?
Yeah.
Great. Let me check something.
Okay.
I'll put this on pause. Let's just talk just a little bit more. What are your plans? Emma and Priya, what are you going to do with what you've learned?
Actually, I don't know. I've always thought that I'd like to learn some more and then maybe start teaching.
Uh-huh.
You know, not like really professional teaching or anything, but just later on, you know, to keep the culture or something, teach little kids if they want to learn.
How are you going
to
learn more?
Well, see, I don't know, within this next 2 years while I'm still in high school, I may be still learning from you. And later, I don't know about college. I don't know if there's somebody near my college or something, then I might continue. But like Nila said, I plan on going back to India. And over there, they have a lot of dance academies. You can go...
To live for a while?
I'd like to finish college and just go there permanently.
Ah.
That's really a big dream of mine, but I don't know. I was planning, when I came back from India, I was planning on going in 2 years and going for college and everything over there. Everything's set up, you know, my uncle and everything said it's fine. But now I'm thinking that it would be better if I got my degree here and then went back. Because if I got a degree there and I came back here later on, their degree wouldn't mean as much over here.
But this way, you're more flexible.
It's more flexible because I don't know what I'll be doing later on. I mean, I may want to come back here. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Ever since I was small, I've always wanted to dance. So I will definitely keep up dancing. I don't know how, but I will. And I want to, like, just teach all those, like, little kids who come up to me. For instance, my children. I want them to learn dance, if they're interested, of course. And then I'll probably learn until I'm done with high school, too. And then college, I don't know. But after that, I think... I'll keep learning until whenever I just feel like that.
What good thing is, in most colleges now, there are some dance teachers in the area because as the Indian population grows, so do the amount of people who know dance. So that's a real plus that we're looking forward to.
Well, great. I think we can stop here.
Okay.